Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's nice to be rewarded for your hard work, a bonus, a raise, a congratulatory remark, an unexpected prize, whatever the reward, it's nice when it comes. A reward is different from a wage. A wage is what you earn. It's fair. A reward is the extra on top of what you might have earned. A wage you get for doing the work. A reward you get for doing it well or ahead of schedule. So if you're going to get a reward for practicing your righteousness, your piety, your holiness, you'd better do it well. So how do you practice your righteousness? Follow the commandments. There are more good works in the commandments than it would take you a lifetime to master. You fear, love, and trust in God above all things, and then you will keep the commandments perfectly. If you have perfect faith, you will have perfect righteousness. So the meanings of all the other commandments begin, you fear and love God so that. You fear and love God so that you do not curse, swear, use satanic arts, lie, or deceive by His name, but call upon it in every trouble. Pray, praise, and give thanks. You fear and love God so that you do not despise preaching and His word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. You fear and love God so that you do not anger or despise your parents and other authorities, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. You fear and love God so that you do not hurt or harm your neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need. You fear and love God so that you lead a sexually pure and decent life in what you say and do, and husband and wife love and honor each other. You fear and love God so that you do not take your neighbor's money or possessions or get them in any dishonest way, but help him to improve and protect his possessions and income. You fear and love God so that you do not tell lies about your neighbor, betray him, slander him, or hurt his reputation, but defend him, speak well of him, and explain everything in the kindest way. You fear and love God so that you do not scheme to get your neighbor's inheritance or house, or get it in a way which only appears right, but help and be of service to him in keeping it. You fear and love God so that you do not entice or force away your neighbor's wife, workers, or animals, but urge them to stay and do their duty. That's it. That's your righteousness. Fear and love God so that everything else naturally flows. If the Ten Commandments don't set an impossibly lofty standard for practicing your righteousness and thereby earning a reward, like Jesus says in the Gospel reading, then in today's Gospel reading, Jesus sets the bar even higher. Just a chapter earlier in Matthew's Gospel, part of the same Sermon on the Mount that today's reading comes from, Jesus says, it's not enough not to murder. Now, anger, hatred, insulting words are just as bad in God's sight as murdering, though your neighbor differs on how those affect him. In God's eyes, all the same. And it's not good enough not to commit adultery. Now lust makes one guilty of adultery. And now in the second half, or the middle third of Jesus' sermon, he turns his attention to other good works, to doing good works so that others will notice. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Don't let others know about your giving to the needy. Don't make your prayers a display of your piety. Do not fast in order to seem holier than others around you. All the Sermon on the Mount may be summarized by Jesus' sentence immediately before today's reading. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. If you keep all the commandments and just fail at one point, even once, St. James says, you're guilty of breaking the whole law. If you obey the commandments perfectly but have just one less than holy thought for a flit of a second, all your righteous works do you no good. And even if you could keep all the commandments perfectly, inwardly and outwardly, and yet were proud of your good works and wanted others to notice them and reward you, you're still damned as a sinner. But you know from experience that keeping the commandments is impossible. That's the point of Jesus' catechesis on the commandments. Not to make them easier to obey, but to make them downright impossible. The ashes smeared on your forehead are crystal clean compared to the black soot of your heart. You're sinful from birth, and you sin with what you do and what you neglect to do, with your actions and your words and your thoughts, the whole of you. Repent. Rend your heart with sorrow over your sin and your sinful condition. These commandments, these admonitions from Jesus, every command of the law was not given so that you might obey it. The law was given, St. Paul says, so that sin might increase, so that knowledge of your sin might increase. The law only makes you realize how imperfect, how doomed, how damned you are on your own. The law was not given so that you could obey it. You can't. But one has. The same Lord whose words are today's gospel reading is the only one who kept the law perfectly. He practiced perfect righteousness, was completely without sin. His was no shallow piety, no fleeting attempt to pacify an angry God. His was perfect righteousness, wholehearted, whole-bodied, whole-minded righteousness. And for all of his righteousness, his perfect obedience to God's law, he was despised by those around him. Sinners hate a holy God. For all of Christ's righteousness, he received no reward from his Father in heaven. The reward he received was rejection by his Father, abandonment by him while he hung in dereliction on the cross. With his righteousness, he took your sinfulness, your inability, abject failure to keep even one commandment perfectly, and he received condemnation in your place. The first time you received the sign of the cross upon your forehead, it was not made with ashes. At your baptism, as the Lord was claiming you as his own and placing his triune name upon you, you received the sign of your cross on your forehead and on your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified, purchased, fought, won, redeemed. Your Lord delivers to you the forgiveness that he won on the cross, where he paid the penalty for your sins in the otherwise placid waters of holy baptism. In holy baptism, in holy absolution, in his holy supper, the Lord takes the fruit of his cross and feeds it to you, makes it yours, delivers to you the forgiveness of your sins. And through the proclamation of his word and the work of his Holy Spirit, he has given you faith that you can receive the gift of his forgiveness. You wear the righteousness of him who was crucified. He kept the law perfectly, to the last dot of a letter. So wearing his righteousness, so do you. You may thus practice your righteousness as if getting used to a new garment, like breaking in a new pair of shoes. They may not seem to fit right, they may not be perfectly comfortable, but the righteousness of Jesus is the garment you wear every day nevertheless. and as you practice your righteousness, not so that others may notice, but so that they may be served with the love of Christ, you get more and more used to it. It gets more comfortable. It gets easier to wear. That's why in Lent, we make a practice of intentionally denying ourselves. We deny ourselves food and bodily indulgences so that we may devote more time to prayer and meditation on God's Word. We deny luxuries and treasures we might otherwise have purchased so that we may give to those less fortunate. We deny ourselves not in order to earn a reward in heaven, but so that we know that the reward of eternal life has already been secured for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.